Why didn't the network or anybody sue Santilli for fraud?
Things are just happening in a very slow time capsule way. Let me try to sum this up for everybody. It took 3 years for me to convince Fox between 1995 and 1998 that we could not leave sleeping dogs lying on this story, that there would be revelations to come. Clearly, the case looked very shaky by 98, and by the time World's Greatest Hoax is established, for most people, at least in the U.S., that the case had to be considered a fraud because one of the films is now proven to be completely an outright fabrication with this 10 footage and this Elliot Willis guy in our show showing himself clearly and coming and stepping out of the film, literally, and telling us the motivations of Ray Santilli and the company 8K Music, we knew that now we had to stay on the case. So I kept asking Fox, let's try to get to the bottom of it sometime down the road. Not claiming that we would have to do it in 98 because there wasn't enough to really chew on yet. We didn't have all the facts. But we were focusing very heavily on the leads that we had, and we had many, and we wanted to know where this brightly lit scene was made after Ray Santilli asked 8K Music, could they make it better? Could they make this much more improved? And when 8K Music said no, they must have turned to somebody else. So we didn't know who they turned to. And we racked our brains, and we spoke to everybody in the special effects community. And I know there are people in the special effects community that claimed it had to be a fraud because, come on, you know, even forgetting the 10 footage and all that revelation we made in World's Greatest Hoaxes, they claimed that if you could make one, and they could make them for movies, and many movies had made aliens, that there's no reason to believe this one was real. But that doesn't prove anything. Just saying that didn't prove anything. It required someone, either our production company, Fox, maybe together, to get to the bottom of it and find who made it. Well, the case became a cold case throughout 99, 2000. We did a bunch of new shows with Fox in 2000, one called UFOs, the best evidence ever caught on tape, number two. We did a show called Ghosts Caught on Tape, Fact or Fiction, again narrated by Jonathan Frakes from the Alien Autopsy shows, and also the UFOs caught on tape shows. And we asked everyone in the production of that show, what more could we add about the alien autopsy? There really wasn't anything to add. Whoever had made the bright scene, George, was remaining silent, and they weren't talking to anybody. And I mean anybody.
And Santilli wasn't telling anybody either.
Santilli seemed like he was ready to go down as one of those people that you never heard from again.
Yeah.
He put out his footage, and that was that. He made, I know, just with American airings alone, well over $500,000. So you could almost multiply that according to Time Magazine and some other people that covered the story. 32 countries aired their own versions of shows, not mine, other shows. So, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist or a great mathematician to know that he's probably made in the neighborhood of, you know, a few million dollars.
Gee.
So we don't necessarily have to look at that as a crime yet in the story, George. All we know in 2001 is there was no more evidence. The 10 footage wasn't enough, I don't think, to convince everyone around the world that the whole case was a fraud. So I kept asking people as many questions as I could throughout my travels, wherever I went. You know, I cover UFOs very much as part of my unexplained phenomena coverage for television. And nothing was happening, no news, until
bingo.
A very interesting thing happened. One of the people that Ray Santilli had turned to help figure out how to market the alien autopsy footage, how to investigate it on his own before he brought it to people like me, was a guy named Philip Mantle. Philip Mantle was a very big UFO researcher in England.
Sure was.
Have you had him on your show before?
Yeah, we have had him.
Okay, good. So people know who Philip is, and Philip, who had become a very close confidant of mine in the World's Greatest Hoaxes production. He turned over all his information, anything he knew about Ray, and he was an insider with Ray way before I was. So he really knew the inside track. And now, after exposing the 10 footage with us, helping us do that, he had come to believe it was a fraud. However, he kept writing sort of we had a kind of a shorthand term Philip and I would use throughout the early part of this, you know, 2000, 2001, 2002. Philip would write an article, let's say, in a wonderful guy who passed on, Graham Birdsall, in England, had a magazine called UFO Magazine. And Philip would write for this magazine in England, and he would do occasionally articles where he'd do update, alien autopsy, what do we know? And he would literally start, you know, teasing the idea that maybe real people had done the transfer from the old film to videotape so we all could see it in television. Maybe there were real people that handled real film. He would really tease this idea, but secretly, Philip and I had a term, he was calling those articles smoke screens. He wanted Ray Santilli to think he was still investigating from a believable point of view, but in reality, he was just putting out these sort of trial balloons to see who out there might contact him. Sure enough, he wrote an article in this magazine called UFO Magazine in England, and a guy contacted him. His name was Simon. And he said, Philip, I know who made the bright scene. Everyone talks about the alien autopsy. And I can put you in touch with this guy. Sure enough, Philip called me. And he said, Bob, I have this guy. I said I could put him in touch with you. Will you talk to Simon? I said, absolutely. Simon and I got on the phone together. I said, who is your guy? Who's your friend? He said, Bob, this is the guy who made it. He's a sculptor. He's a guy who does this for a living, for television and film. And he's the one who made it.
And is he in England or the United States?
He was an England-based creature effects sculptor that wanted, in 2002, to go and basically turn on the entire hoaxing team of Ray Santilli and all the people around Ray, and he wanted to come out and take credit for creating not only the creature we see, but take credit for cutting into the creature, being the surgeon. Let's get our head around what he was taking credit for in this phone call when I finally spoke to him in 2002, the actual creature effects guy.
All right.
The guy was taking credit for making the creature with animal parts, sheep brains, real biological material. You can only imagine what this must smell like.
So real guts.
Oh, absolutely. He filled the creature, made a cast, a conventional, maybe synthetic creature, if you will, very, very, you know, expertly created, and then, of course, filled it with real organs, real, honest-to-God, biological organs. So he's cutting and removing real organs. So the first thing he does is he makes a fabulous-looking creature that fooled a lot of people, just on the creature itself, at being a real biological creature. Some even suggested, and you know this from watching the show, of course, that maybe it was a deformed human.
Yes, that's right.
Could you imagine to credit the amazing amount of complimentary commentary this guy was hearing that people thought, number one, it pathologists are saying in our show, pathologists, George, that they believed it was a real biological creature and maybe even a human deformed from radiation.
Or a child.
Yeah. Right. Turner syndrome and all these different things with six fingers and all that, and the enlarged head and the eyes. So it went way beyond for these two pathologists that we had on the show, and all around the world, many pathologists felt that this guy, we'll just call him John for the moment, John had created a biological creature, and then, to add amazement to this, he went and studied books on how to cut into a creature and how to remove. So you had the pathologist saying to our cameras, as you know, this was absolutely, they were either surgeons or pathologists that have done a fair share amount of autopsy.
And it's him, the sculptor maker.
Can you imagine? So this guy watches us all, and for 7 years he says nothing. Finally, in 2002, he's on the phone with me, telling me the truth.